Blog Talk Radio.
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and burned that. Man, the way that I live, don't concern that. Man, we gon' have to settle this another way. A letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it and burned that. Man, the way that I live, don't concern that. Man, we gon' have to settle this another way.
Movement, music, moving to it. Put a fist up, prove it to us. This is much more than music to us. This is beauty and strength. And if you know about the music, then you know about life. This is movement, music, moving to it. Put a fist up, prove it to us. This is much more than music to us. This is beauty and strength. And if you know about the music, then you know about life.
Word is
any kind of activity that takes place on the floor of the Congress or the Senate, that's the government. Any kind of dilly-dallying, that's the government. Any kind of pussyfooting, that's the government. Any kind of act that's designed to delay, or deprive you and me right now of getting full rights, that's the government that's responsible. And any time you find the government involved in a conspiracy,
I can never go back. Life without parole, upstate, shackled and trapped. Living in the hole, looking at the world through a crack. Fuck that, I'd rather shoot it out and get clapped. I've gone too far, there ain't no coming back for me. Auschwitz gas chamber full of Zyklon B. Just like the Spanish exterminating Tainos, raping the black and Indian women, creating Latinos. Motherfucker, upmade me out of self-righteous hatred. And now you got yourself a virus, stuck in the matrix. A suicide bomber, strapped and ready to blow. Lethal injection, strapped down, ready to go. Don't you understand, they'll never let me live out in peace. Concrete jungle, guerrilla war out in the streets. Nat Turner with the sickle, pitchfork and machete. The end of the world, motherfucker, are you not ready?
DJ Tony Drake.
This is DJ Tony Drake, a.k.a. Mr. Top Shelf himself. And right now, you're in tune to Your World News, where journalism and activism are not mutually exclusive. Here on yourworldnews.org.
You can't tell me life was meant to be like this. A black man in a world dominated by whiteness. Ever since the Declaration of Independence, we've been easily brainwashed by just one sentence. It goes, all men are created equal. That's why corrupt governments kill innocent people. With chemical warfare, they created crack and AIDS. Got the public thinking these were things that black folks made. And every time there's violence shown in the media, usually it's a black thing. So where are they leading you? To a world full of ignorance, hatred and prejudice. TV and the news for years, they have fed you this foolish notion that blacks are all criminals, violent lowlifes, and then even animals. I'm telling the truth, though some suckers are fearing me, but I must do my part to combat the conspiracy.
Welcome to another edition of collaboration between Your World News, the Your World News Media Collective, and the Nimbrew Media Collective. We do this collaboration every so often. We need to do it much more, and we are going to be doing it, much more. And I am one of your co-hosts, Solomon, and in studio, again, I'm joined by students and have two brand new students. This is their initiation flight, so they're in the cockpit, and we're taking a flight through information that is desperately needed to be spread out there to the masses. And we are glad that you joined us. And without further ado, I want to actually introduce my two co-hosts today, and I'll start with you, Kai. You can tell the folks who you are and a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so my name is Kai Bradner. I'm a senior at the University of Maryland. I'm a public policy major, and, you know, my first couple of years of college, I wasn't really involved with a lot of stuff, so as I'm leaving, I really want to try and make my voice heard and create some impact, because if you want real change, I think you need real action and direct action. So, yeah.
Right on.
Hello, my name is Zach. I'm a freshman here at UMD, and I'm a journalism major, and I just wanted to, like, learn more about people around me. That's why I'm a journalism major, and I think that this is a great opportunity to learn more about, like, the Black community and people in that community.
All right. Welcome aboard, Razak and Kai. And I can't take credit for our topic today, but I think it's a fantastic topic. Whenever we do these shows, we have production meetings to pitch ideas that, you know, that we believe are really important to raise awareness and to generate a deep dialogue amongst our community. And so last week at the production meeting, you know, the idea was generated amongst, you know, with our two co-hosts, you know, and I think Kai, you mentioned it first about the need to bring awareness about what's going on with the historically Black Lakeland community that is being decimated. I you know, by something called gentrification, which is running ravaged throughout the United States. You know, you can talk about Philadelphia, you can talk about Harlem, New York, you can talk about Brooklyn, New York, you can talk about L.A. I mean, almost every major city where you have a significant population of Black people and brown people, and especially indigent Black and brown people, people who are living in government housings or, you know, housing tenements and so forth, are summarily seeing their communities gobbled up through gentrification. The first stage is the redlining that goes on. The redlining, let's, you know, mark this community up, you know, say it's a, you know, it's a super dangerous community, and therefore it's time to move out the undesirables. And that is with the gentrification. And you start to see the Whole Foods being moved in, you know, things that those people cannot even afford, the tenements and the, even right here in Washington, D.C., gentrification. This is a place in Washington, D.C., that is less than 15 minutes away from College Park. The College Park is less than 15 minutes away from D.C. And D.C. used to be known as Chocolate City. That's not no longer the case. That is no longer the case. It cannot refer to as Chocolate City. It is the Black population continues to decrease year after year after year. I mean, you look at even places where they had government housing, such as, you know, Southeast and Berry Farms. I mean, these places are now being turned over to, you know, high rent, condominiums and so forth. And that's what we see, throughout the country. And this is gentrification. And other activists, you know, including myself, have called it, you know, it's ethnic cleansing. And so we're talking about Lakeland community. So I want to turn up to you, Kai. Why did you, this was your idea,
yeah.
An excellent idea. That's
yeah.
What brings us here at this moment right here. And before I turn to Kai, I just want to let anyone know, if you want to call in, that we have open lines. If you want to call at any point to leave a comment or a question, or you have a question, you can call the number 929-477-3696. Again, that's 929-477-3696. You call that number, and you can call directly into the show, and we'll welcome you on, as long as you do it within the next 50 minutes or so until the show ends. Kai?
Yeah, definitely. So last semester, I took a tour of the Lakeland community for all my policy classes. And I was just, like, taken aback by how much of the community is left. It's just a shell of its former self. And throughout the tour, we walked through the whole area, and we got to see, like, what was there in the past. So there used to be convenience stores in the community. There's a school that's no longer running. There's churches. There's churches that has population still, but, you know, the numbers are not as they were, because people just can't stay. They're not given the resources or being forced out, as you can see with the shopping center around Lake Lincoln community. And I think when I heard about that moving as well, I was like, wow, what's going to be left for them? The shopping center has so many different resources, food, a barbershop, and it's really sad. And to know that as a university student, I kind of contribute to that in a way. And now I'm taking a step back, looking, how can I help?
Thank you. Rizak, go on.
I didn't really know much about Lakeland until, Kai brought it up about a week ago, because I'm new here, obviously. But I think from what I've been reading, it's just, really, really rough, how they were made. The community was made as a result of redlining and segregation and stuff like that. But then after they saw how profitable it can be to, take that community and make something else out of it, they, started destroying homes and stuff like that. And now, I think it was, a large percentage of, the original housing is now just completely gone. And that's insane to me.
Yeah, and a lot of it's student housing, too. So they'll put in a big house and just rent out rooms instead of having, single-family homes, because multi-family homes and takes away from the community as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so I appreciate that. And before the show started, Kai, you and I were talking about, and fill in, I want you to, because I want folks that are listening right now, because there might be people that had no idea. Like Rizak was saying that he didn't know much about Lakeland until relatively recently. Lakeland, black folks started to move into Lakeland at the onset of the 20th century, the 1900s. They've been there for a long time. You know, this is with, legalized segregation. We know about the migration of black folks, especially after slavery, and people starting to move more upwards from the Deep South into places like Chicago and New York, but even, places like Maryland, which is at the time still part of the South, but we're right there on the cusp, right? Mm-hmm. It's not the Deep South. It's right there in the Mid-Atlantic. I mean, you know, not too far from Maryland is Pennsylvania and so forth. So black folks started to move into Lakeland. They have a church that's been there, well over 100 years, a really an AME church, Embry AME church. There's a lot of history in Lakeland. And I don't know if you wanted to talk about some of that history that people should know, because it's a long time. It's a lot of history. And when you got here, you said you walked through, and I've been on this campus for over 20 years. And, it's been I remember going there, and I mean, visually, you see a lot of black folks there, low income housing, folks that needed that low income housing, because I believe that housing, just like healthcare, is a human right. It's not a privilege. It's a human right.
It should be treated as such.
Yeah, and it should be treated as such. So go ahead.
Yeah, so as we were saying, Lakeland has been around for a pretty long time. It's an example of a segregated black community and how it was able to flourish and create their own, little section of life. Mm-hmm. And of course, the university being there, it was always kind of, it's always in the background, or the backyard, you can say. And so I think the community started to grow. The university also started to grow as well. And I think those two things the university won a lot of space and still does, especially the trees and the other forest areas in the area. And so after a while, slowly it was step by step, the government forms or corporations buying pieces of land from Lakeland. But slowly, surely, and to the point where it's kind of taking away half the community, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want to add anything to that. Okay, yeah. And so, I believe it was 1928 when the Community Heritage Project was formed to preserve Lakeland's history.
Right.
And now there's a beautiful museum, and I took the tour, and I encourage anyone listening to go to take the tour for Lakeland. It's kind of just a nice, something to be proud of, the history, and something now to fight for as well.
No doubt. Where does it stand? Since you've been there, where does it fit for our listeners? Where does it stand now? There's been a lot of that property that's mm-hmm. been sold off.
Yeah.
Folks have been asked to move out. And these things happen, there usually is no plan to rehouse these people someplace else at all. So they're left to kind of fend for themselves. And people should understand that the even the larger context is PG County used to be.
Mm-hmm.
predominantly white. I mean, even going back to the 80s, it was predominantly white. So you had these little enclaves, and one of those enclaves was Lakeland, which was a predominantly black community in a predominantly white county, right? Mm-hmm. PG County in the 80s, believe it or not, in the 80s was predominantly white. And it was predominantly white going back to, obviously, going back to the early 1900s when Lakeland was established. Where does it stand now? And you know, feel free to talk about businesses. And I won't mention any names, but, you know, we were actually supposed to have a black business owner, come on today. And it was just too emotional for him to come on. And he told me very, very honestly that, you know, I have, I've been interviewed, by local newspapers and given my input, and I can't do another one of these. It's just a little bit too emotional for me right now because I'm scrambling around to try to find a new location. We're supposed to be out by the end of October. October 31st is they have to be out by October 31st. So, understandably so, very emotional for this individual. And so we don't have them coming on. We will be doing, Kai and Razak and myself will be doing some videotaping.
Yes.
In the near future. We're actually going to go on foot. We're going to go into Lakeland and maybe talk to some folks, but capture some footage of the community, before these buildings, start to, come down. The plaza over there that has a number of businesses is going to be leveled. It's going to be leveled and turned into high-rise, expensive, student, apartments, primarily for students.
Yeah, and do we need more? There's just three new ones just came this semester as well.
Yeah.
Now, it's really predatory taking advantage of students, in my opinion, too. I know it's a little off topic, but in the same vein.
Yeah.
But, yeah, back to Lakeland and the community itself, as talking about how the shopping center is being moved out, it's kind of like a remnant of the past where how there used to be even more businesses in that community. There used to be salons. There's a beer garden, there's rec centers, and even when I was doing, none of that is here anymore. That was gone way before my time as well.
Yeah.
And then also the community itself is just shrinking. And then there's not as many families who live there. As we were saying earlier, there's a lot of college housing now within the communities, which kind of, in a sense, is takes away from real estate that could be, that was used for historically black residents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think like a big, upsetting thing about the whole situation is how hard there is to find any recourse. The people already are moved out, the culture's already gone from there. Mm-hmm. You can't really do anything about it, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe if you find every family that was shoved away and you repay them for what they may have lost, maybe that even that's a whole complicated thing.
Yeah.
So it's just really disheartening. But thinking about it.
Yeah. It's almost some type of you're talking about some type of reparations, which is a national dialogue now. Black folks are saying that it's long overdue.
Yes.
That, we be issued some type of reparations, and people want to get caught up in their mind, about each individual getting a check, or each household getting a check, and that's one form of reparations. But a lot of these groups are talking about, because it's hard to put a number on hundreds of years of just sheer brutality that was levied upon, African people, and that's exactly what happened to enslaved Africans, enslaved black people in the United States, hundreds of years of brutality. But as difficult as it may be to put a number on that to quantify that, it must be done. I mean, there are schools, it could be in the form of billions and billions of dollars to reconstruct, dilapidated schools, and in addition to ensuring that every child, African American child that qualifies for college is able to go to whatever state school of their choice for free, whatever state school that is in the states that they occupy. There's a number of things, and the dialogue keeps getting blocked by politicians who don't want, and this is on both sides aisle that want to be, they want to come out and, this is fiscally not feasible, and for stuff that we didn't do. I didn't directly do something, you know, so why should I pay? Well, why should the descendants of enslaved Africans continue to have to pay for what the descendants of white folks' ancestors did years ago? Because that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's been happening.
Yeah.
In a number of ways. Yeah, exactly. And structural racism continues to happen.
It's built in place.
Yeah.
It's a racist mind, so of course not going to be safe.
Exactly. So this would help remedy that. And we see that reparations have been given to other groups. I mean, for goodness sakes, I mean, look at even the reparations that were given out by Germany to people of Jewish faith, you know, after, you know, World War II and what, you know, Hitler and the Nazis did, to millions upon millions of Jews as well as Roma people, as well as people, a lot of people don't know there actually was a community of black people in Germany as well.
Yeah.
That were there, that were relocated there as enslaved Africans in Germany, you know, and then, you know, in the 1800s, Germany ended slavery, and they stayed there, and, you
yeah.
know, many of them were exterminated or sterilized
yeah.
as well
yeah.
as part of Hitler's campaign, but yeah, Razak, you bring up when you talk about alluded to reparations, you know, you're taking their housing away, there is no kind of reparations for the loss of their housing.
Yeah,
we're just taking away. We're not giving you we're not giving each household this amount of money to go for moving costs and to go and you know, for several months or a year's rent someplace else. Nothing.
Yeah.
Just you're gone. You end up being homeless. So be it.
Yeah.
So be it.
And all the city council has done is just they have formally apologized and promised to look into everything that happened. But of course,
mm-hmm.
you know, in 1970, they approved the Lakeland Urban Renewal Plan, which kind of started the whole, you know, I guess, gentrification of this community. And between 1970s, like early 1970s, they destroyed 104 homes out of 150 in total in Lakeland. 104 out of 150,
uh-huh.
which is insane. And it's ever since then, it's continued to keep chipping away at the community. And this shopping center being displaced is another big blow.
Yeah.
There's no real accountability.
Huge blow.
Because
you're talking about great point. I wasn't even thinking about, but you say it's a huge, huge blow. Think about that.
Yes.
Think about that. When you have these businesses, and not all of the businesses were black, but still the businesses, it was very, very diversified. You had,
mm-hmm.
you had a Salvadorian place,
mm-hmm.
you know, you had places that were owned by Asians, you know, had places owned by Indians. I mean, so it was these business owners, when you're doing that, not only are you taking away their economic wherewithal in terms of how they pay their bills, how they keep roofs over their heads and their families' heads and so forth, but these are dollars that are recycled throughout the community.
Mm-hmm.
These are local businesses.
Yes.
Local businesses help empower the business writ large, and what you're allowing this huge company, this corporation from Texas to come in, the folks that are buying, they're not even from the state of Maryland, to come in, and we're going to level this, and they have no investment.
Yeah.
This corporate, the ones that, and I was told, like, the business owners that I talked to, the African-American business owner that I talked to, you know, told me that when this happened, they came in and said, they basically, this is what's going to happen. You have, you know, at the time, you know, you have 10 months to a year to, you know, find a new location, but this is what's going to happen, and that's it. Very callously, very cold, spoken like somebody that doesn't even care about the community because they're not a part of the community,
yeah,
and
exactly.
they're not. They're,
yeah.
they're coming from another state, so they don't have any investment. It's almost like when we talk about policing and the need that if you're going to have the need to change I love this conversation because it lends itself to these other
yeah.
areas. That when we have these conversations about policing, and we know we have an epidemic of police brutality in this country, and it's disproportionately based, you know, per capita is disproportionately impacts people of color, you know, Native Americans, Latinx, and especially black folks. And those police, right, a lot of those times, those white police in those communities, they don't even live in those communities.
No, exactly.
They live far out. So there's no investment. There's no investment, because when you live in a community, you see it a much, much differently. You see it much, much differently. But when you live outside the community, I can live in Delaware, and I can drive, you know, 35, 45 minutes, maybe an hour sometimes, to Baltimore City, go police this area. They're not me. These people are not me. So it becomes much easier to profile them, to see them, to see, could be any one of us in this studio right now. We're all black men. That to see us, not as like the lives that we carry, what we're doing, that y'all are in school, black men, and black men equates to a threat. So I see any kind of furtive movement or whatever, you know, I will rain down terror upon them, which is exactly what it is. So that's what's going on with, you know, when we talk about, you know, the corporation that is leveling that plaza over there.
They're not seeing people. They're just seeing like potential like money or economic gain, you know, and that trumps, you know, people's lives, because people's lives are going to have to change dramatically due to this. And some people might not be able to recover it.
Yeah. Razak, anything?
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna take a brief musical interlude, and I want to play this, you know, before the, you know, full disclosure, before the show started. As most of you know, I'm a hip hop historian. I give these talks on the history of hip hop and its connection to a number of things, you know, social issues, social justice issues. And actually how even like these large corporations control much of hip hop right now, right? They create these cookie cutters and so forth. And, you know, we did I'm glad you guys are involved, but we did a documentary years ago called Hip Hop, White Supremacy and Capitalism that got a lot of traction. It's still on YouTube. Folks listening right now, just type in YouTube, Hip Hop, White Supremacy and Capitalism. And, you know, we interviewed a number of independent artists who had opportunities to sign major label deals and were told, you know, hey, you know, we want to sign you, but we want you to change up your content.
Yeah.
And of course their content had to do with social justice issues, culture edification, but they wanted to change their content to the stereotypical stuff, you know, talk about the bling and we have no problem you talking about, you know, killing other black men senselessly, like in your lyrics, and degrading black and brown women. We have no problem with that. But so I want to play a song, since we're talking about kind of Americana itself. This is none other than Brother Ali, and the song is called Uncle Sam. And it's supposed to play with. There we go. Wrong song. Now that's Uncle Sam. That actually is a great song. That's a great song. And I wanna move it back. Our engineer who's me, I'm gonna take their blame for that.
Name of
this
song,
Uncle Sam.
Uncle Sam, goddamn. Show tune, but the show ain't been written for it yet. We gonna see if Tony Jerome and the band can just work this shit out for me. Straighten me out right quick. Nah, I like it so far, man. Yeah. Come on, let's go. Welcome to the United States, land of the feast, home of the slave. Grand Imperial Guard, where the dollar is sacred and proud. Let's do the shift real, come on now. Smoke and mirrors, stripes and stars, stoners for the cross in the name of God. Bloodshed, genocide, rape and fraud, written to the pages of the law, good law. The cold continent latchkey child ran away one day and started acting foul.
king of where the wild things are. Daddy's proud, cause the Roman Empire done passed it down. Imported and tortured a workforce that never healed the wounds or shook the curse off. Now the grown-up Goliath nation holding open auditions for the part of David. And you still, nothing can save you. You question the reign, you get rushed in and chained up. Fist raised, but I must be insane, cause I can't figure a single goddamn way to change. But welcome to the United States, land of the free, home of the slave, the grand imperial guard, where the dollar is sacred and power is God. Welcome to the United States, land of the free, home of the slave, the grand imperial guard, where the dollar is sacred and power is God. All must bow to the fat and lazy. The fuck you obey me, or why do they hate me? Who me? Only two generations away from the world's most despicable slavery trade. Pioneered so many ways to degrade a human being that it can't be changed to this day. Legacies so ingrained in the way that we think we no longer need change to be slaves. Lord, it's a shameful display. The overseers even got raped along the way. Cause the children can't escape from the pain, and they born with the poison, the hatred in their veins. Try and separate a man from his soul. You only strengthen him and lose your own. But shoot that fucker if he walk near the throne. Remind him that this is my home. Now I'm gone. But welcome to the United States, land of the free, home of the slave, the grand imperial guard, where the dollar is sacred and power is God. Welcome to the United States, land of the free, home of the slave, the grand imperial guard, where the dollar is sacred. Hold on, give me one right here. Hold on. You don't give money to the bums on the corner with a sign bleeding from their gums. Talking about you don't support a crackhead. What you think happens to the money from your taxes? Shit, the government's the addict. With $1 billion a week, kill brown people's habits. And even if you ain't on the front line, when master yell crunch time, you right back at it. Man, look at how you hustling backwards. At the end of the year, add up what they subtracted. 3 out of 12 months, your salary pay for that madness. Man, that's sadness. What's left? Get a big-ass plasma to see where they made Dan rather point the damn camera. Only approved questions get answered. Now stand your ass up for that national anthem. Welcome to the United States, land of the free, home of the slave, the grand imperial guard, where the dollar is sacred and power is God. Welcome to the United States, land of the free, home of the slave, the grand imperial guard, where the dollar is sacred and power is God.
That is none other than Brother Ali, and that is that's not a song that came out in the 80s, even though I love my 80s hip-hop, 90s hip-hop. That's a song that came out in the 90s. I mean, not in the 90s, but in the 2000s, and there's so much music like that right now, but it's not being played. And perhaps that is a show that we will be doing again in the future to cover the terrain of black music and how it has been co-opted and turned into some kind of Frankenstein. And as someone who's not even into censorship, my beef is, if you're gonna play some ratchet song, then the song right after there should be some balance there, you know, because right now there is censorship. They're censoring any kind of artist that is talking about social issues, social justice issues, any artist that's talking about political or cultural edification. That's censorship right there. But there should be a compromise where if you're going to play some kind of, you know, quote unquote ratchet song that's just simply kind of baseless and endorses a number of, you know, senseless things, senseless misogyny and senseless violence, then the next song should be an artist that has politically conscious lyrics or socially conscious lyrics or what have you. But that's these songs. There was no term when I was growing up called underground hip hop. Mm-hmm. But now there's a term called underground hip hop, because when I was growing up, you would listen to the college radio stations. Even Yo MTV Raps would play Public Enemy and play KRS-One, a number of artists. But that that those kind of artists, those kind of voices, those voices that are similar to those I just named, just younger, you know, these are young cats, you know, in their 20s now, they're being suppressed because of the content of their music. And so we're going to play that music. And so that was Brother Ali, Uncle Sam, Goddamn. And as you heard, I thought it was apropos because we're talking about gentrification and much more and all the different things that go along with that. Where do they go? You know what I'm saying? Like, my thing is, where do they go? They have to look for extended. It's almost like, you know, I remember, and I don't know when you guys were born, but I distinctly remember Hurricane Katrina. And, you know, that was caused by a major flood that was caused by a hurricane that caused the levees to break, and then there was a flood, and people had to relocate and find. Like, a good friend of mine, he's from the Lower Ninth Ward, New Orleans. I mean, he lives up here now. And he and his mom had to come here because their house was wiped out. Mm-hmm. But in this case, their communities haven't been wiped out by a hurricane. This is man-made. Their communities have been wiped out by man-made greed and capitalism.
Uncle Sam.
Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam. Yeah, good old American greed and capitalism. Yeah. And capitalism. I mean, and think about it. I mean, the audacity. Think about it. The land that we're sitting on right now was once land of Piscataway people and the entire country. Talking about 500 plus Native American nations all ripped away. And then you have the audacity to use stolen labor, black bodies to build up, you know, the infrastructure in this country. And then now years later, fast forward to 2023, and have the audacity to now move descendants of those enslaved Africans out of their community.
It might be different methods, but it's the same thing happening. Yeah. The cycle's continuing. It's pretty sad to see. Mm-hmm. I don't really see like a way to break out of it. Just due to, I think, capitalism kind of coincides with poverty, and poverty plays a big role in the race in our society. But and I think as long as there are systems that continue, you know, over policing leads to prison leads, you know, job insecurity leads to, you know, low income, which affects your education, affects your schooling for your children. It's just all going in circles and circles. And people who've had forced to move have to essentially start over in a lot of these cases. And as being black or minorities, we don't have generational wealth to fall back on like a lot of other families do who may not have to move. And so it's like, where do we go from here? That's what I'm struggling with.
Can you repeat that, man? That was loaded, and I caught every a bit of it. Repeat what you said about what leads to in mass incarceration.
Over-policing, especially in, like, urban areas. Well, over-policing is when there's so many cops are in the area. So, of course, they're going to pick at stuff. They're going to find something.
Yeah.
You could be doing anything. And especially in, like, I would say in, like, white communities, there aren't as much police at all. There's very little police presence. If there is some, they aren't antagonists. They're not looking for trouble.
Yeah.
And I think when I was watching the documentary 13, they talked a lot about the quotas, and now police often have to fill in quotas, so they'll arrest a lot of black individuals to fill those quotas who haven't really done anything that deserves to be arrested for. And then that leads to, of course, confrontation and leads to police brutality oftentimes. And then once someone's put in prison, they're kind of stuck there. Recidivism rates are super high. Mm-hmm. They're too high. So once you get to prison, where are your options? You can go out. Job insecurity is horrible. Jobs aren't really hiring. And then from there, of course, you have to buy a house. You can't buy a house without money. You're turning down payments. You have to rent. Can't build that wealth. Then where you live oftentimes impacts where your children go to school.
That's right.
And so the schools are funded by the zoning and housing. And if you don't have, you know, a nice school, then education's bad. And you don't really have any options. There's definitely this trap where you're like, you still can't move forward. Mm-hmm. The ladder is being cut off.
Yeah. And I'll jump in, and definitely feel free to jump in, Razak. You're exactly freaking right. Exactly right. Think about it, folks. I want to put something out here that white folks do cocaine, heroin, right, crack. If we wanted to use the margin, they at the same rate as blacks and Latinos. But if we want to be specific, they actually do those drugs at slightly higher clip, 1-2 percentage points higher, right? But their communities, as Kai was saying, are not even remotely policed the way black and brown communities are. So you would think that we represent like 90% of all the folks. I mean, we're just smoking up, shooting up, you know, every black community, that every black, and that's not the case. But their communities are policed radically in disparate ways, much less than they are black and brown communities. So they go and police heavily police those communities. Meanwhile, you know, kids from middle America, middle class white neighborhoods, upper class white communities are going to, you know, going to inner cities and places and purchasing cocaine, crack, then distributing amongst themselves,
yes.
Going to other places, distributing, smoking up, doing that
yes.
stuff. And then if they do get caught, they get sent, right? They'll get sent to a rehabilitation center.
Slap on the wrist.
Right? Because a rehabilitation center, that's what's going to clean up a crackhead, right? I've done a lot of prison, work going, you know, behind bars, working with inmates, especially on the juvenile detention centers, and you're not going to clean somebody up from being addicted to cocaine or heroin by putting them in a prison or in a jail. No, they have to be rehabilitated. They have to be really rehabilitated, which is what we see in European countries throughout Scandinavia. You can go to Southern Europe, go to Italy, Spain, Portugal, like. They're sent to rehabilitation centers, you know, and then the recidivism rate, right? I was in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Norway years ago, you know, doing a series of lectures in Norway, and I was in Denmark, but specifically Norway. When I was in Norway, their recidivism rate is like super super low. It's like 3-4%,
wow.
maybe that, because.
Wow.
And they're treated like human beings
yeah.
when they're incarcerated. And so they're working with them because they're like, at some point, these people are going to be released back into society.
Yeah.
And we don't want them going into Oslo or Kristiansand or whatever part of Norway and committing crimes again. We want them to be rehabilitated so that they're productive, positive members of society.
Yeah.
Here, it's like, you could have stolen someone's car, right? You get sentenced, or you might have got caught with distributing, you know, cocaine. They sentence you. Say you do a 5-year bid. When you get out, Kai, depending on what state you're in, when you get out, say you're in Florida, when you get out, Kai, you can't even vote. You're disenfranchised.
Yeah.
You're disenfranchised. There's a box that, you know, you apply for a job. It's pulled up. You did your time.
Yeah.
Why am I still being penalized where I can't even get a job now? And what happens then? What happens? I'm going to tell you what happens. If you can't find
yeah.
a job, you have to turn to the underground economy
yeah.
again
mm-hmm.
because you got, you know, you have your girlfriend, your wife,
yeah.
you have your partner,
kids.
You have a kid, you know, or kids. Now you're like, I don't want to do this, but I got to go get in contact with folks I know
yeah.
that, you know, can give me a job,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not a legal job. It's an illegal job. And so then it's a matter of time whether you get caught again or you get murdered on the streets
yeah.
or otherwise, and then you get put back in there.
Yeah.
So they're setting you up for
yeah, exactly.
recidivism.
Right.
And
yeah.
for goodness sakes, we see prisons. Like what humane society has prisons on the stock market where people can buy prisons?
Yeah.
So why would I buy a prison unless there are harsh, harsh, draconian, punitive measures put in place that are going to keep these jails and prisons stocked up.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens. You have really draconian laws that make sure that the prisons and draconian policing laws so to make sure that these prison beds are full. And if they're full, I'm going to continue to make money because that stock's going to continue to rise.
Yeah.
I mean, you have everything from Victoria's Secret's
yeah.
lingerie
yeah.
to meat from Piggly Wiggly, you know, grocery stores being chopped up. You know, call centers in these prisons. So it's like modern day, no doubt, modern day slavery. And I don't.
Hey, what, 10 cents an hour?
Exactly. And I'm in here with these brothers right now, and I'm writing down something. One in eight. People can't see it because, you know, we're not on television, but 1 in 8 of the world's, you take every single prisoner in the world right now, every single person in this world, that is locked up, whether in Brazil, Russia, China, United States, you name it, you name it, anywhere in the world. All, if you take all those prisoners, 1 in 8 of them is an African American in prison in the United States. 1 in 8 of the world's prison population is an African American warehoused, not someplace else, but warehoused right here in the United States of America. There are more black people incarcerated right now, than were enslaved in 1850. I mean, I want people to think about that, wrestle with that. You know, yeah. So I'm so glad that you brought that up. Mm-hmm. You know, and what leads to, and even before that, what's the number one indicator of whether someone is going to be turned to a life of crime or not? Education.
Yeah.
Education. Yeah. Lack of education.
Yeah.
And we would go right back to what we were talking about before. Education. We look at the school systems in a lot of these inner city communities.
Oh, yeah.
The school systems are under-resourced. You got 30, 40 kids to a teacher, and you know, how warehoused in there. And why not in a country where super capitalist, right? The number one way that public schools are financed are what? Property taxes.
Yeah.
Property taxes. So me and, you know, you and your wife, yeah. Right? You and your wife that live in a city, you guys are renting from an apartment. You work a full-time job. She works a full-time job, but you're being penalized because you don't own property, because you live in a place that there's not a lot of property owners. So I'm glad you brought that up, but that's all front and center. And don't think that this doesn't connect to Lakeland. It's all connected, folks. It's all connected. It's all connected. They want it to be broken up and to balkanize it and make it seem like it's completely disparate from one area to another area, because they don't want people to focus on something that, as you said at the onset of this program, is systematic.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start thinking of things structurally and systematically, then you must think of solutions that are systematic, where I'm not just going to put a Band-Aid, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, on this little wound here that you have on your ankle when, you know, you have cuts throughout your body. You need much more than that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'll stop there. I don't know. Yeah. As we, you know, we start to come to a close, we're about, you know, 5 or 6 minutes from the close of the show. Let's think about what it may be too late to because the stuff has been purchased, you know, that's been bought and sold off, to save Lakeland as we know it. But in terms of gentrification writ large, you know, throughout the United States, both of you brothers, what are, I know I'm putting you on the spot, like just offhand, what kind of solutions would you see? Like if someone gave you a pen and say, hey, Kai, hey, Razak, you know, we're making you, you know, for a week, you know, you know, president of the United States. And you know, what kind of solutions do you think would be important?
I think like gentrification is like, obviously it's a race issue, but like even more so it's like a class issue.
Yeah.
So it's like pricing people out of their homes. I think one of the best ways to do it is to like, obvious, this is like a Band-Aid sort of also, but if you're putting a Whole Foods in their neighborhood, make it so they can afford to go to the Whole Foods and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So like better education, obviously, to get better job security, better everything. It's like improve the capital that black people have.
Yeah. There needs to be price control, essentially. You know, they're being, can't afford your neighborhood anymore. You can't live there. And I know there's some like rent control areas that people are able to stay because they're rent controlled and they can't increase their rent. There needs to be more like established, you know, just restrictions of what you can do when you're trying to displace someone, quotation marks. And I'm not sure what that looks like right now, but like a general idea is just to be like, you just can't force anyone out.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a deadline that's illegal to force anyone out.
Yeah.
You can make deals with people, but like that's fine, but you cannot say here's your eviction notice.
Mm-hmm.
Even in I know even when people are being evicted in their homes, there's this. You can always go to the court tickets, but that takes a while. There's so much bureaucracy within that, too.
Yeah.
And I think streamlining the legal system is exactly what, you know, a lot of communities need, because not everyone knows the resources that they have in their backyard. And you have rights. And our rights, I feel like a lot of Americans just don't know. We know like our amendments, but we don't really know what those mean. We're not really taught in depth what we can do and what we cannot do, and what people can do to us and what they cannot do to us. And I think just and more public defenders come around communities would be good. Just fostering that direct communication. I know there are places where it definitely is, but I feel like it's lacking definitely in the inner cities especially.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking about this right now. Yeah. I don't think it's like fully fleshed out, but like I think the idea of like democratizing like land ownership is a really like something that should happen. I don't think you should. The shopping center, right? The people that are generating the capital for a landowner through rent is like the people that have the shop, that own the shops, that are like selling goods and services in there. They should have a say in the matter of whether or not their land, where they are, is getting sold or not. So I don't think it makes sense for like one landowner just to like all of you get out. I think it should be like democratized. It should be like
publicly owned.
Yeah.
Privatization is, you know, least I think corruption and oftentimes is a symptom of capitalism, you know?
Yeah. No doubt. No, those are all great, like, no doubt, great, great, great ideas. You know, I remember, you know, one of the things that was put out, you know, during in the wake of George Floyd and Breonna Stewart and, I mean, Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery. I mean, gosh, there was, you know, who was hunted really, down like an animal. You know, there was the talk that came coming from Black grassroots organizations, you know, the need for community control over the police, community control, that there should be, the community should have the ability to fire and hire, like every single police officer that comes in that community.
Yeah.
They should be vetted, and the community should, every community, you know, deserves to have some type of protection. But as KRS-One once said, you were put here to protect us, but who protects us from you?
Yeah.
You were put here to protect us, but who protects us from you? Mm-hmm. So there should be community oversight with that and with the ability to hire and fire police officers. And if a police officer murders someone in cold blood, I mean, like, think about it. You know, when we see something that happened, like, for instance, with George Floyd, just to mention George Floyd, that was caught on camera.
Yeah.
If you or I were caught on camera kneeling on someone's neck, the trial wouldn't have taken that long, and the book, rightfully so, would be thrown at us. We're talking about life, life without the chance of parole.
Yeah.
If you or I were caught on camera doing that, but with police, you know, these sentences are much, much lighter. I mean, it takes a while. And here's the other thing, folks. Don't think, I want to put something out there, because facts are facts are facts are facts. Just in case there's some contrarian out there that thinks otherwise. Listen, you can look up the data. You can look the data up. Go straight to the government. You can go to FBI.gov, and you can look this data up. Police officers murder somebody, and we're not talking about self defense or protection of themselves. When these cases happen, the clearance rate is something like. The clearance rate, like, it, just to give you an idea, there's about 2% of the time those police officers are ever adjudicated.
Yeah.
So the vast 98% of the time, they're not even adjudicated. They're not even adjudicated, let alone, you know, sentenced to any kind of jail time or prison time.
They're relocated.
Yeah.
A different neighborhood.
Yeah.
Somewhere else. Yeah.
Look at, for instance, you guys remember Oscar Grant? Oscar Grant was the brother who was caught on camera from Oakland, California. He was, and they caught on camera. It was New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, like late night, like New Year's Eve / New Year's Day. He was on a BART station, which is the Bay Area, metro system, their subway system. And this police officer, 6'7", Johan Mezelis, kneeled on his back. He was unarmed. Like, he was unarmed. And wasn't even, like, wasn't a fight or anything. He was completely unarmed. And what happened was they kneeled on his back. He kneeled on his back, pulled out his firearm, and shot him in the back, murdered him execution style. This was caught on camera.
Yeah.
And then tried to, like, claim, like, oh, I thought it was a taser.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. You're a police officer. You know exactly where your firearm is on your body and that, whatever. So he murdered him. Johan Mezelis, for murdering this brother who was completely unarmed, was not doing anything illegal, was completely unarmed, and murdered him, was was given less than 2 years.
Wow.
Less than 2 years, like time served.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, relocate, you know, got out of the area and so
yeah.
forth. For murdering this black man who was
yeah.
a father. He was a father. Father, had a girlfriend, you know, and murdered him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he got. I mean, shoot, Michael Vick got more time for fighting jogs.
Yeah.
So, you know, when people say, you know, black people's lives are worth less than animals, that's what, you know, that's a stark example right there, is that Michael Vick got, you know, got more time in prison for fighting dogs. And I'm an animal lover. I'm not, like, advocating fighting for dogs or murdering dogs, but was given more time than this man who was caught on camera summarily executing
yeah.
a black man in cold blood. So, you know, those ideas are great, because when you said what you said, it made me think of the community policing. When you said that there's be, you know, there needs to be some, I think you said democratization of this whole process and so forth. And it shouldn't, you know, got to take money out of it. This, you know, that because some, a lot of times money, people are given junkets, or so politicians are given junkets, and they make decisions based on where their money is coming from. That's why politicians who are supposed to represent their constituents, you know, they say, oh, when they want to be elected, oh, we're for universal health care. And then when they get in office,
yeah.
they're no longer, because then you find out they've been given tons and tons of money by big pharma or health insurance corporations, you know, to, you know, for their reelection
yeah,
campaigns.
Exactly.
And so they move far away from a universal health care. That's a whole other issue. We
yeah.
still don't have universal health care in this country, but still there needs to be a democratization
yeah.
because that would be democracy. But, you know, when money and isn't that, that's fascism, when government and corporations, there's a fusion between government and corporations. That's, you know, in essence, one of the working definitions of fascism. So
yeah.
I like what you guys said, and but we're a part of it right now. This is a solution right here. Any ideas that come about from the people, any ideas that we can think of right now, things that led to movements and led to policies being created, it started off with conversation.
Yeah.
So this, to me, I see this as part and parcel of that,
mm-hmm.
is that these conversations. So people that are listening right now, whether you're listening live or an archive, have these conversations with people in your dorm rooms, in your community, in your family. Have these conversations. Conversations lead towards actions, because it might not be you, but the person that you're talking to might be, you might spark something in them, and they might be much, much more of an influencer than you. But it was you that helped ignite that in them, because you gave them a perspective or information that they hadn't had previously, and they took it to the next level. They took it and shared it with this person. It starts with these conversations. These conversations have to be had. And these conversations are often quelled because these perspectives are not often, if ever, placed within the margins of the corporate media. But it is an alternative media, which is what we are.
Yeah.
So we got to keep you know, pushing this along. So I appreciate you brothers for coming on.
Yeah,
this is not the this is the first. We have 90 seconds left, but this will be an ongoing series of programs that we're going to do
yeah.
on different issues, social justice, even hip-hop music
yeah.
and so forth, and culture. You guys have any closing thoughts?
I think just Lakeland has, they're trying to, you know, preserve a lot of their history. So if you can, just try and help out any way you can, because, you know, this community has a great black power and black, you know, just greatness, in my opinion.
Right on. What about you?
I mean, I think, like what you said about conversations, important, participate in those and support any like thing that you see like having conversations. So yeah.
Right on. Until next time, we're gonna take us out with Coup, because we have no more time to ride the fence. You gotta get involved. You can't vacillate from side to side. You can't ride the fence. Pick a side, and hopefully it's on the side of justice. Until next time, I'm Solomon. I was joined in the studio by Razak and Kai, and here's the Coup, Ride the Fence.
Right. Gotta get off the phone. Bust some verse right here. Alright, okay. furious. Anti-trust, anti-gun, shit won't bust. Anti-corporate, they anti my essence. Anti-sorting them, anti-depressants, but I'm not pro-popping them. I'm pro-bocking them and pro-stopping them. FBI operatives who professional the black man pound and hand you a sentence that you can't pronounce. I'm also anti-narco, anti-vice. 911 marks the anti-Christ. They anti-social point M6B. Yes, I'm anti the anti-nigga machine. Proletariat, bunkabellic, parliamentarian, pro-revolt. In the 21st century, pro running up in Congress saying fuck it all. But bringing people with you, that's the protocol. This is a drug for like jailbreak. The whole world is anti-United Snake. So check it out, anticipate the antivenom and move your antibody to this revolution rhythm. We gon' be fucking with them. Pro-union with most laws they bite. Anti-motherfuckers crossing a strike. Take a look around and be for or against. But you can't do shit if you riding the fence. Ride the fence. I done tried every day and that shit decreases. Anti them anti-crime bill pieces. We need cash and that's the anti-thesis. I'm pro overthrow of the hip-hop nation. Pro laying low till I'm all probation. Pro people control of the cash and corporations. Pro prophylactic, yet pro creation. Anti-water down drinks and fancy cups. Anti-promoters who don't anti up, but I'm not anti-club. I know that power is the most effective anti-drug. I'm pro Zapatista, pro Cuba, Viva. Polarizer saying fuck La Migra. Policia say Asesina. Let me show you what I mean. I'm anti-Republican and Democratic. If they self-destruct, that's anti-climatic. Tired of being hunted like an antelope. Take the system by the throat, that's the antidote. So I pose a proposition. Take a look, be in support of opposition. To be proactive, proceed with confidence. Cause you know that you can't change shit by riding the fence.
Ride the fence. Now you don't really wanna ride the fence. Now do you really wanna ride the fence? Go what you really wanna ride.
It's no good. Wait, wait, wait.